It's the summer of 2011. Why not change? Why not your company? Why not now? Really? What will it take for you to change and improve your life, your capabilities? It's the summer of 2011. Running out of excuses yet? In this unpredictable economy, is this business as usual? No, this is turnaround business time. Time to improve in the summer of 2011. From business services to technology, marketing to productivity, sales to employee morale, nonprofits to associations, this show addresses today's, not yesterday's, critical topics essential to you and your company. Guess what? In this economy, embrace change or it will continue to confuse you. Leapfrog Forums, taking it to the next level, has been created by and for business challenges, changes, and success stories. Come and talk with us about the vision of change you are living and how that is taking your company to the next level. Let's get our friends and family members back to work now. How? Step up as a change advocate champion and share your innovative and collaborative successes in the workplace with us on air. Tell your story. Leapfrog Forums, taking it to the next level. Innovation and collaboration for growth and jobs. Accomplishing together what we cannot do alone. Call the boss at 602-859-0048. 602-859-0048. That's 602-859-0048. And visit us at www.leapfrogforums.com. www.leapfrogforums.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is The Boss and the Ballerina every fourth Monday of every month. I was going to ask a question here and to the moms here, and let's start with Carol. What would you say to adults, especially adults, that seem to complain about their life, and they seem to have it all? I mean, by most standards, I have to get rid of one of my four cars. I can only afford three Mercedes, and the BMW has to go. I can't afford heating for my pool. What would you say to those adults that, from coming from your place, there's so much more in life than what they see?
I think that's a hard question. I think that I think it's so hard to beat up other people. I don't want to do that. But I would want to invite them to come to ballet, right? I would love for them to come and see these precious children who are overcoming so many obstacles, and don't let the little things get in their way. I claim that's the beauty of being a special needs mom, is that I do not get caught up in the small stuff or the big stuff as is the Mercedes or whatever, right? Those things are so not important. And I think that's impossible not to see if you're in the studio with us at ballet rehearsal. I'm fortunate. I have a wonderful husband who this drove his life, our special children. And so now he is a pediatric orthopedic surgeon who just works with kids with cerebral palsy and spina bifida and scoliosis. And, but periodically a family will come in where the parents want the child to run a little faster or to, their time is off on the track, right? And how he deals with that, and as he's trying to assure them that a half a second change in their time on the track is not the most important thing. That's our life, right? We live in a world where we're overcoming some pretty big obstacles every day, and those are the lessons that we're learning. Those are the lessons that our kids are going to teach the other 40 children in the ballet production, that the obstacles of somebody touched my unicorn is not the most important thing, right? Okay. I just have to say that I have an old beat up van, and you do have those days where you'd like one of those Mercedes somebody wants to get rid of, right? So I have this old beat up van, and And it broke down on our way to the first Cinderella rehearsal. It just died. It had a flat tire. We couldn't go any further. And I get there, and Susie's girls, these beautiful 23-year-old ballerinas, come up to me, and they're very distraught. And they tell me that Cinderella's coach had broken down. And I am very concerned. I'm thinking, Caroline's adding a whole new element to the ballet. There's going to be a coach breakdown. And as, as these beautiful girls kept saying, no, 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 Cinderella's coach broke down, but she finally got here, it clued into my brain that it was my beat up blue van that broke down, but they believed it was Cinderella's coach because Cinderella was in my van, right? My daughter. And it totally changed my perspective. But I tell you, I love my beat up blue van because it's Cinderella's coach. That's what I would tell people who are trying to get better, is that it's all about perspective. And if you come hang out with our kids, your perspective is going to change, right?
No
right.
question about it. And it's really, what I'm hearing, it's really what life means to people. Let's go to Susie. Same question.
Continuing with this story, my children really believe that this is Cinderella. And that is, they really believe that. That's their thought process, which is wonderful. And what I've said for years about my girls is, actually, they have the easiest life because their life is all about what it is, face value, and love. Mm-hmm. All those other things don't matter. And everybody should take a breath of that
yes.
and see it and process it that way, because what the main thing at the end is that you're eating, you're breathing, we made it through today, we love each other. It's really simple.
It's amazing.
No question. It is interesting, and I do encourage everyone to get out to the production because I think it really will demonstrate another side of life that people don't realize. And I think it's very important not just to support Caroline and what you're doing, but really to enhance the lives of the people that haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, you know, I'm not faulting them. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you haven't seen it. But guess what? Eventually, it's going to come down on you. I mean,
and you live in it.
Yeah.
You should be aware of something that's not in your circle.
No question.
That's what the world
is. Well, things are never what they seem either. So people's lives who seem perfect and well mm-hmm. put together, oftentimes people are walking around with a deficit in their heart that they can't even express.
Right.
And they don't even realize that a small financial downfall or an extra car that's broken down or any inconvenience like that, you know, a hurricane that ruins their Bahama vacation, that kind of thing is equivalent to
it is.
Your van breaking down. It's the same. It has the same feeling. The enriching part of witnessing something like this is that it'll just change the color of your glasses. So you
mm-hmm.
you then see that your reality is still your reality, but.
Isn't the bottom line, though, what I'm hearing everyone say here is that ultimately, everyone in this room, plus everyone in the world, ultimately they want peace and harmony and joy every single minute, every single day. Some think they can get it through material things. Not saying you can't have material things, but if you identify with it, it will be taken away someday. And if that's your connection to peace, that could be an issue. But talk a little bit more, Caroline, about how important peace and harmony and joy as a goal is. It's just every day be that, and everything seems to take care of everything else.
Exactly. I agree with you, Dave. It's when we have all our special needs and our typical children together, it's just get the bodies out of the way. It's not the important part. It's what's inside all of us, what we share together. And our typical children, what they get from these children is incredible, because they do. As Tom said earlier, we think that they're going to teach the special kids something, but really it's not that at all. The lessons come from where you don't expect them, and it is very beautiful to see.
You know, I like what, I think it was Tom, you talked about pretty much your mission, learn, share, and grow. And if you think about that, that's exactly the sequence and the order that each of our special guests here today were talking about. You learn something at some point, and you go, wow, there is possibility. You shared it with people. And how has this been such an impact on the growth of yourself and your kids? Let's start with Kathy this time. I mean, just the growth opportunities for this itself.
Yeah, and I don't often stop and think about who I am. Caroline asked me to write a little biography for today, to get ready for today. And I said, wow, there really isn't anything interesting about me.
I don't know. Your insights have been remarkable, inspirational. It's a gift to the world.
But I don't stop and think about that whole
lot. Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, and I think that, you know, our life with Addie and the way our days are stacked, even my other kids, we're just Addie and Addie's family. We don't feel extraordinary.
But that's what makes it extraordinary.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel that way, and because it's just life as it is, with the joy. You're looking at opportunities. You're not looking at what you don't have. You're looking at what you do have.
I go to sleep at night, and I thank my lucky stars for the people that have crossed my path. I know that's no accident. And then we wake up and blink and hope that it's all still there, and it is.
That is very cool, Tom.
Yeah, no, it just, I do a lot of reading, and I was most recently reading this short story about a special needs family. And in this case, the mom was having a particularly rough day and saying, boy, I didn't do this right, or this didn't work, this didn't work. And I'm mad at my kid and this, that, and that. And all of a sudden, the little kid looked at her, and her heart melted. You know, and it's what I'm hearing from, you know, all the moms. It's like, it's tough out there, and we have our good ups and downs like the rest of us. But when I seen at the end of it, it was, but then he looked at me, or she looked at me, and it changed. You know, I'm back to normal, and I'm rejuvenated again.
Kathy, let me ask you a couple things about Addie. How is this? I bet there's some unexplained, unspoken communication between you and her, I bet. That's what I'm sensing. Am I right?
Well, yeah. Her physician asked me, so how does Addie tell you what she needs, and how do you get what she needs for her? I mean, what method of communication are you using? I said, oh, we have ESP. Mm-hmm. So there's a tuning in that happens. And one of the things that I... That as a new mom, I knew it, but by the fifth child, it became second nature. I said, okay, she has to breastfeed. We have to find that way to connect. If she can do nothing else, if she's not going to roll over, if she's not going to be able to lift her head up, we're going to do this, and we're going to forge a bond so that she understands that I trust her and she can trust me, and we'll go where we go, and that's what happened. So Addie can. Addie has a few words that she can say, single words, more, mom, dad, dog, crazy. She says crazy. She now says ballet. And then, you know, those words don't come very often. So you have to rely on emotion, and she'll click her tongue when she wants something. Now, I can't write down on paper what those clicks add up to. But I just know. I just know.
And
I just know.
That's what I sensed. And I think that's just remarkable, is just an invisible way of communicating, but much more profound than verbal.
Than
verbal could ever be.
It's life-giving. I mean, it drives you to try that much harder. It makes you follow through.
And Carol, that you had a
comment. I was just going to add that my first encounter with Addie, I didn't have ESP, but it wasn't necessary. She came to try on costumes for ballet for Cinderella, and we did the fittings, and she just was shining. She was smiling so enormously, and we could not wait. Claire was helping, and we were so delighted, and we finished, and Kathy and Addie began to leave, and we hear this scream, right? This very, and I thought, oh my goodness, someone has hurt this child, and this is not good. And we all go running over, and Kathy's shaking her head. She said, no, she's just not ready for ballet to be done.
She didn't want to leave. That was, and we had just been to Target the night before and bought the leotard and the tights. She got it. We stood before the mirror, and she saw how tall she was.
That was the day Claire and I knew we were all in. We would do whatever Caroline asked of us. And it's the best thing ever.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion on a very heartfelt topic, something that the world should know of. And that is our goal today, is to get this out, get the education, and share, actually learn, share, and grow. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Boss and the Ballerina every fourth Monday of every month. Tom and Caroline, I want to say a few words here. You are remarkable people. I think the stories we're hearing today thus far is really the light of the world. And let me ask you, did you ever think this would come about the way it's come about? I mean, hearing some of these stories, did you envision this from the start, or you just started because this is your passion, never knowing that you're affecting so many lives in positive ways?
I know, it's amazing. It does have a life of its own, Dave. It's, as I said, I just feel privileged to be part of it. When I was Claire's age, I used to walk to our local orphanage in South Africa, which had a lot of special needs children, and I would spend all my weekends there working, just volunteering with those girls and helping them bake cookies and tidy their rooms and stuff. And it's been something I've always really wanted to do. And then when I had my ballet school in Connecticut, I would bring all these girls to me. I called them my ducks. They were wonderful young women who had such power within them that I could see and draw that out. And they became young women who now, because I taught so many of them for so many years, 15 years some of them, from the age of 3 through 18, they became Fulbright scholars and Rhodes scholars. They're pediatricians, they're lawyers, they are those women who I knew, I could see in them, had that power. But they were bullied at school and they didn't have friends, and they came to ballet because we were not in the business to create a ballerina, but to create a powerful woman. And then as they got older and they got their driver's licenses, they would come to ballet on Saturday morning and then all head off to the diner together for breakfast. And it's incredible. My wonderful daughter, Lizzie, and I had a discussion yesterday. She's in law school, Charleston School of Law. And she said, "Mom, do you ever have any doubts about what you're doing?" And I said, "No, I feel this power." And when I see these young people, and like our newest little ballerina who we have, Rebecca, and she has cerebral palsy and she can't see very well, and I hold her hands and she just laughs, and she is so incredibly happy, that I have no doubt that this is where we should be.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, you've witnessed this too, the process and the whole how this is evolving and unfolding. What have you noticed about the power? Did you ever imagine the power of giving this gift of hope to people?
Not really. All I can say is that, like I said earlier, the vision's real clear. Mm-hmm. What Caroline's going to do, this is going to get done. And I know whatever I do, I get back so much more joy. Tenfold, I mean, that's not, you know, anything. So it's just to be around it, be a part of it. I open the doors, I pick up afterwards. I'm there to jump on whatever needs to get done, just to be in the energy of what I know is love.
No question. And let's go back to the moms real quick. Where do you see this going? Let me phrase it a different way. What do you hope where this will, I don't want to say end up, but what do you see like 5 years from now? What would you hope to see 5 years from now in the world? I mean, how big is this going to be? How many lives will it touch? What's your hopes and wishes? Let's start with Carol. I will start with you, don't I?
You do. You know, I want it to grow. I want Caroline's impact to just go, and I would like there to be multiple productions. I want there to be so many kids and so many families impacted by Cinderella that it just continues to grow and blossom, and so that she's touching lives, and that it's a given. That these moms, when they're given this new diagnosis, know, well, I've heard of this ballet.
It's
this
gonna
ballet
be okay.
company in Phoenix.
And it's all going to be okay.
That's right.
That's nice. And how about, Susie, what do you have? What's
I'd also like to see the other productions, but I'd like to see a school with classes maybe of different similar needs, similar stages of, so that it also brings familiarity to these kids. I'd like my daughters to look at somebody else and say, they're like me, because they haven't seen that. We don't tell them that they're not like everyone, but they have an inside, you know, mm-hmm. and I know it. I see it. And I think this will open their world so that they truly within themselves will fit in. And thus, everybody else comes with that. Families outside, it will just make them be like everyone.
And Kathy, what do you think it will take to reach these dreams, these goals, a way? So you actually said it very nicely. It's a way of life. It's not the exception. It's actually the rule.
Yeah, even if you thought this didn't touch your life, chances are you have a neighbor, you have a relative. They just don't talk about it a whole lot. These children are everywhere. They grow up to be adults that are everywhere. They work in law offices and they work as bank tellers. And we're just people. We're part of a wider community. And I think it's time that it's just time for this to be recognized as a legitimate therapy, that it has the medical benefit. That it's showing. It's not anecdotal.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Addie does say, she says new words after ballet. I think her vision's a little better. Like Susie said, we see less seizures. So
yeah, I do.
Well, that's remarkable.
She sees her arms and legs differently. She sees them differently.
So, Caroline, same question is, you know, what's it going to take? I know you just live and breathe this. This is who you are. It's mm-hmm. at an identity yeah. level. What will it take? And, Tom, you can talk about this, too. Together, what are you preparing for? How are you planning this out? Do you just take one day at a time, or do you actually have this vision that you are following and sort of an end game in mind that, hey, this is going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. Obviously, there's sometimes things that just come up and surprise you because you hold the space for great things. But you're sort of the business guy of the group here. So how do you approach it from that side?
Well, we have we're putting together a strategy and a process to make this happen. But the three ladies you've been listening to from the beginning of the show, that's what really makes up our community and their children. Everything just needs to be aligned and brought together. I mean, it's like we're all we have the potential to get this vision accomplished. And it's just by hooking up and brothers helping sisters and sisters helping sisters, what we were supposed to do and should be doing as a society. In this particular case, the timing's never been perfect. The platform around children's performing arts is wonderful. I can't hold a tune, but I love being around singing and laughter and all that. And for the guys out there, it's time to step up. There's no doubt, and I'm not judging again either way. A lot of them are stepping up. This is a major challenge that the rewards are endless. But we have a process in place. This has to happen with a strategy and a process, and today's part of it. I mean, really, we know where we're going here, and we're going to just get everybody's input. As Carol, we've been talking to you and your family forever now, putting all the pieces, you know, Cinderella's doing the camera work right now, and the boys are out there ready to come in here and start interviewing if we run out of questions. So it's real. It's real, and it's real people.
That's a very good explanation. Now, are there, Caroline, similar organizations with your beliefs out there that you've connected with? That'd be one way to maybe get the word out, if there's other organizations with similar beliefs. And if not, how are you different?
We have been doing a lot of research about that, Dave. I am also, I think I told you in a previous show, a teacher at the Royal Academy of Dance in London. And so when this, my vision really became very clear, which happened straight after Peter Pan, I did call them to see what is there out there that we could model this after. And we really haven't found anything. So it appears to be very unique. And so, and I think the unique aspect is that bringing all children together so that we don't necessarily have to classify them as special needs or typical children. It's just bringing children together, and they will bring the rest of us together. And that seems to be that there is no discrimination about anybody.
So this is really sounds bigger than just what is on the surface. It's really a human condition that you're trying to change from an emotional state of separation, bringing people together as one.
Yes.
That's a much grander goal. I really like that, Carol.
I'm just going to add that, you know, we live in a society that talks a lot about inclusion. I think we live in a very accessible world where buildings have to be accessible and they have to meet certain guidelines. And we see, as parents of special needs children, that word really has very little meaning. Just because a child can get into a building does not mean that he can do anything in that building. Or can go to a zoo and the fence be right at eye level for a child in a wheelchair. That's not what I would consider accessible, right? But it meets the governmental standards. Inclusion is the same way. You can be included and still have to sit in a room and watch everybody else dance. The beauty of what we're doing at the Ballet Academy of Arizona is that these children are absolutely dancing all together. There's not the wheelchair kids can only do this movement, or the typical kids are going to have to do this movement. Caroline has absolutely put everyone together. They're doing beautiful dance. It is what inclusion should look like.
So what you're saying is it should not just be a requirement written by law, but it should be a feeling being a part of something.
Yeah. And Caroline gets that. Caroline understands that, because what we were talking about earlier, she sees the beauty and the potential in a child, and they rise to that occasion. When she puts a child who has emotional deficits and is in a self-contained classroom because they cannot control their anger, but she sees the leadership potential in them, she puts them as a leader in a group of smaller children, and the child rises to the occasion and becomes the leader. That's because she believes in them. It's what she's doing with all our kids.
Caroline, when did you first notice you had this gift of really seeing the beauty and potential in children? Do you remember back then when that first came about?
No, not really. I do. I know with my own three children, I love them beyond anything. Yeah, and I feel that love for all children. But my own three, Martin, Maggie, and Lizzie, the world will stop. for those children.
Wow, there's some incredible connection you have. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the boss and the ballerina and three amazing moms that really hold the space for greatness for their kids. We'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the boss and the ballerina every fourth Monday of the month. Tom and Caroline, what a nice couple. Look, they're hugging everything right on the show. It's on TV. I can't believe it.
Caroline. Listen, let me give a shout out here. I want to get some people's attention. There's a lot going on here. And if you've listened to any part of this radio program, you've heard it, and I don't have to summarize it for you. We want to move forward with this vision, and I spent a career in Honeywell. What a wonderful international corporation. There's so many other companies that are out there that I won't even begin to give shout-outs to, but, hey, you're looking for a cause? If you're looking for an area to focus some financial attention and really help a community in this challenging environment economically we have in Arizona right now, well, step up. Here it is. Here's one, and there's many, and you corporate leaders are doing a great job out there, whether you're running hospitals, foundations, technology companies, it doesn't matter. But take a look into this, and some of you listening, pass this up the ladder, because we're trying to do a paradigm shift here, and we're trying to get back to love where we should be and where we all are, but we're trying to bring it together. So I don't want to put a lot more words there, but pay attention. This is all about progress and what we really all should be, helping each other. So corporate Arizona, hello out there.
Wow, Tom is on fire here. I don't think I've ever seen you this passionate.
Step
like this.
Up. Here's your chance. There's a lot these ladies know, and this all comes together in a package, and we're going to talk about it. Let's make some changes. There's nothing stopping us, limiting beliefs, except ourselves. And don't let that be an excuse. Believe in everything.
Were you a boxer in a former life? Wow, I like it. But that's good. See, passion comes out in many ways. And well said, Mr. Tom. Now, let me ask a couple more questions. We still have some time on the show here, probably maybe 20 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer. You know, it seems to me that the world, generally speaking, is apathetic. And I don't mean to bring this up in a negative way, but I do think it's important to understand the reasons for apathy so one can get through to the people that are apathetic. And everyone in this room now, really, you can never say that about yourselves. I mean, it's something, you're witnessing something greater than yourselves is what's happening. And I do think apathy ties into self-serving and having the world, they're really the center of the world versus something greater than themselves. So I'm not going to start with Carol because she's looking at me like, don't start with me again. But I will start with Susie. You are so lucky Susie is in the driver's seat. Apathy, I mean, what does that mean to you? How has that changed you from, you know, how you see apathetic people? I know you probably don't judge them. I think they just don't know. And they just think the world revolves around them for some reason.
And they're very, you know, everybody's absorbed, self-absorbed in what's going on in their life. And they don't really, you don't all the time have to see somebody else's stuff. You just have to see your own. But unfortunately, if you look at the bigger picture, we all touch each other down the road somewhere. And if we just take a minute to, you know, tell yourself, what if I was in that situation? What would I do? That would make a big difference. It would start the wheels turning. It would make us more accepted by everybody and included. You just have to kind of step back from your world and just say, wow, what if I had that situation?
So it's really being more empathetic, maybe more compassionate?
I'm thinking.
Compassion.
Yeah, so tell us more about that, Kathy.
Well, what is it? I heard this in a kid's cartoon. Compassion is seeing that somebody needs help. And mercy is stepping forward and doing it, I think is what it is. So I think some people can get stuck right before they even see that something requires some compassion. And everybody has their own story. I can be as guilty as anybody about being apathetic about things. But that's human nature. So when we see people like Caroline who are doing incredibly extraordinary things, it sets a high standard. And I think that's probably, in my eyes, where apathy comes up, is that people just don't know where to start. And they think they can't do something as big and grand.
Well, Caroline, let me ask you this. What advice would you give to people that appear to be apathetic? But I think you see the world so much differently. I think you are including everyone and allowing people to, at their own pace, to participate. But what would you say to, or what advice would you give to people that it's a little bit more challenging, we'll say, to get them to see what's right in front of them?
Right. It's an interesting question, Dave. I think I would just say, just look at a child and see. They know so much. It's so natural to them. I think as we get older, we lose some of that spontaneity and that just that sheer exuberance of life that children have. And we had that too. And I think as adults, if we can keep that and see the joy of what's right in front of us, I think it would change a lot of how they see their everyday life and what they're doing.
And I would venture to say that there's fear involved in apathy, where fear of losing something they think really makes them happy. And I see it with, I'm also CPA, so I see it in clients. Some of the wealthiest clients have a fear of losing their money. And it's really about focus. It's really about where you look in life. And they get so stressed, and I'm thinking, wow, with all that money, is it possible to be really that stressed? Well, when you put attachment to money as your survival, yeah, you can get stressed. And exactly. And money shouldn't be. I mean, nothing should be except just waking up each and every day joyful. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Kathy had something to say about that.
I just wanted to tag on the end. I think when I get to the end of my life, I'm going to look back and be thankful for the dignity that was offered me.
Yes.
And for Addie,
that's amazing.
That is
that's all we want.
You know, that's incredible. I'm really starting. Although I haven't met Addie.
Oh, she's an amazing young woman.
But I'm getting this incredible sense of knowing her though, through your description, through everyone's description, and if Addie could really, you know, communicate in a way, she communicates to you very clearly, but what would she say about you? I know you have that sense, and because you just seem so delightful, so beyond,
you know, there
delightful.
There was a moment, this is a little bit spiritual, but there was a moment when Addie was born, prior to that final stage of birth. I allowed them to hook me up to, we knew something was amiss. We didn't know what. I didn't know if it was me, and I didn't know if it was her. We still don't know. But there was a moment where she and I made an agreement. And we said, it's both of us or none of us.
Wow.
So I told her it was up to her. I said, what are we going to do? So my health was, it was a serious issue. It was a close call. I kind of let go. And I said, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And it was up to Addie. So after 7 minutes of CPR, my husband called her name and she breathed. And that was that. So I said, okay, well, here we go. So I started my climb back into my body and kind of said, well, we got work to do then. Wow. That was 10 years ago. So it's wound me on a path. Finding ways to get things done, finding ways to get in and out of the car when you don't have an accessible car, getting in and out of the house, getting in and out of a tub that doesn't fit. The year, you know, the day in, day out, year after year frustrations of that completely get washed away when you come up on something like this. This is the kind of therapy that kind of cancels out all of the other things that are just too big to think about. It's too universal. I'm thinking that I'm pretty sure that my story has happened to millions of other women around the world. Children do die, and I'm thankful for every day, but I'm really thankful when something like this happens. It makes our day just so worth it. It offers that dignity back to Addie that we would have missed. We would have just missed it. So I'm really grateful to her, and I think if Addie could talk, she'd say, what time do we go to ballet? I really don't think she's thinking the big picture. She's thinking, when do we get to the baseball game? Did you bring the Twizzlers?
It sounds like you really found your higher level purpose. And that being said, would you have it any other way?
Well.
Or is the higher level purpose so profound beyond what is apparent on earth? Is this how it should have been? And the lessons are just much more significant than any other, quote-unquote, normal cultural way of living.
It is what it is. I mean, I really don't expect anybody who's never experienced a disability in their life or in their family to appreciate what any of us go through. It's not really about that. It just is what it is. I can't go back in time and change anything. I can't go back and recapture things that I thought I was going to do. Instead of being immersed in this, I can't. So it is what it is. It's okay. And it, you know, if anybody else doesn't see it my way, my motto is, not everybody can see things your way, so you let go. And I can't see everything their way, so I let go again.
Did Carol, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I certainly. If I could take away any pain, suffering that my boys have, I absolutely would in a heartbeat. But I just have to say, I like Carol better as the mother of Benjamin and Mason and Claire and Kate. They've changed me so much. I am so not the person I was before their birth. I like what they've taught me. I love the mother and the woman they've made me be. And my Mason, and I'm very fortunate because my boys are very articulate with their feelings and their emotions, and we're having a current medical concern right now for Mason, and as I tried to come to terms with it myself, I apologized to him. I said, this is, again, another result of my body not carrying you to term. And Mason said, Mom, I am exactly who God wanted me to be, and he needs me to have cerebral palsy to do what his plan is for me, and you need to quit apologizing. So my guys are okay with who they are. They embrace it, and they use it, and they're willing. They know that when they walk or roll into a room, the world stops and looks, and they're going to they're going to make the most of that attention. So I am thankful for who they are.
And when we come back from a break, I want to talk a little bit more about each of your kids. And I'll give a question out that may be emotional, but I think important to look at. And I'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Boss and the Ballerina, and this is a very special program, Caroline.
I think
thank you to you to bring so many great people together to really make a difference in the world. And
thank you to the moms for being here.
No question. It's a very courageous
story.
Yes, and the question I was going to ask is this: you all have kids that you deeply love, and evidently need you at this point. And I'm sure you've thought about when you may not be around anymore. How do you think about that? What do you think about that situation? Who's going to take care of your kids? What are your thoughts about that? Let's start with Susie on this one.
I've thought about that for a very long time. And for us, I mean, we joked around, and I used to say, when I go, they're going with me because there's no other safe choice. But realistically, we've prepped and prepared what's going to happen. I have a daughter who's 25, and I never asked her because I don't feel that it's her responsibility to give up her life but be involved. But she totally went with us when the girls turned 18 to become a legal guardian. She said, I will carry on what you started. We have a special needs trust, and I go down every month. We have a journal of instructions that I update every 2 months, so that because I was told when I'm not here, they will hire 4 people in 8-hour shifts to do what I do. And if I want it done the way I've started, I need to leave it written out. So that's how we handle it.
And what do you think? How about your children? Have you thought about what they would? How
you know,
they
mentally,
would
I don't know that they're going to understand where I am. I don't.
But they know you're there, and they know
I am now.
Yeah.
They totally. They mommy's the king. That's what they tell people. Mommy's the king. When you ask them what is it about mommy? Mommy's the king. Mommy takes care of everything.
Wow, that's significant. Kathy, question about, in this case, Addie. Have you thought about that, and what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I've only really been away from Addie a few times. I went away on a weekend retreat with some friends, some women, So I was only gone 2.5 days. And my husband said she asked for me constantly.
Wow.
So I don't really think about leaving. I think in the immediate future, I just think I have to do everything I can to keep my health, on top. I have to stay on top of it. I don't have any choice. I need to live as long as I can. So I'm invested in that as much as I can be. I don't have any wealthy uncles that are passing away. We don't have any trust funds. We don't have retirement. So I'm really living on that trust that the community that I've built around us, both in our families and my community, that God forbid I go before Addie, she'll be okay.
And that's why it's so important that Caroline is building this community, and that makes it probably a little bit more tolerable. Knowing that there's people that care.
Such at a comfort.
That level.
It's such a comfort.
Yes, the word is a great word, comforting. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Carol about the same question.
You know, my boys are 14, and one of the things for Benjamin as he's entered this teenage years is that he worries enough about this for both of us. So he very much recognizes that I meet his everyday physical needs, and so he asks a lot. So if I have a doctor's appointment, is it because I'm sick? Are you sick, Mom? And he worries about it for weeks on end. And so I very much agree with Kathy. I do everything within my power to stay healthy. It is my job to stay healthy. I say out loud, I can't get sick and I can't die. I have to be here to take care of my child. And yet I can't promise him that because we are not promised. But it's everything I want screams. Tell him it's okay. You're going to be here forever. And that's so what I want to be able to say. So he worries. It affects who he is. It affects his ability to shine some days because the weight of that is so heavy. So the weight then is that heavy on me to make sure I'm doing everything I can to be healthy for him.
That's a whole nother book. Siblings, other siblings, typical siblings in a family where there's special needs, the burden that they walk around with that they don't. I don't even think they realize.
And that's what makes this so important, isn't it, Caroline? Mm-hmm. Is that is you're really providing like a safe space in a way for people to really continue their progress, continue despite anything that can happen. Now we just have a few minutes left. One more question is: what would your child say if you asked them to share their dreams? And just sort of imagine what that would be like. Let's start with Carol.
My kids have big dreams. Mason and Benjamin both, I think, are going to change the world. They have some big dreams. They're both able to speak and articulate those. And I know that when they were in first grade, which is going back a little bit, but Benjamin had a really bad experience at school, and the teacher, I felt, had been very demeaning to him, and he was crying in his bed that night, and I was certain, you know, angry mommy, he was, that teacher had hurt his feelings, and now his self-esteem was, you know, impacted, and I go into him, and I'm like, Benjamin, what is wrong? You know, thinking he's going to say, Miss So-and-so did so-and-so to me. He goes, Mom, I just realized when I'm elected president, you won't be able to live with me anymore.
Oh. Wow.
So I'm pretty sure his self-esteem is okay. And I think we could probably go in and have T-shirts made up because he is going to be president someday.
Fabulous.
Wow.
Great dream. Wow. Very good. Susie, how about with your kids?
You know, in all honesty, because of the way they their brain processes or doesn't process, I don't know that they have dreams for the future because they have a hard enough time with today. But they tell me what they want to do based on something they really liked that day. If it's something I liked, I want to be that.
Wow.
I mean, and it changes, but it's there. It's there. I don't think for the future, I think they're just counting on being taken care of appropriately and loved. And that's what keeps them going.
That's so key, especially well, both actually, care and love,
right?
And that's very, very important. Otherwise, their world probably would feel threatened
all the time. I mean, that's why I say it's for them. Life is really easy if given the things they require, which is love and security. It's real easy.
That's so. It really sounds like everyone has a higher level purpose here. Way beyond what meets the eye, and it gives sort of new meaning to life, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
Well, let's go to Kathy. The same question. Dreams, if Addie could tell you.
I don't know if Addie has a cognitive thought about what she dreams and what she wants. Most of what she thinks she wants is what's coming up next. The next baseball season is starting, and now it's going to be ballet starts. On Monday, right. So yeah.
So that would be part of it, perhaps, is that her anticipation and excitement to be part of Cinderella.
Yeah, and we're choosing things where she feels comfortable, and relaxed and loved, cherished.
And let me ask you this: we have about 2 minutes left, Caroline, in the show. And after hearing what you just heard over the last 2 hours. What do you respond to? Is it just really confirmed to you that your passion is powerful? And it's maybe that's not even the word, but mm-hmm. It's just something you know you have to do for the world.
Exactly. And it's just love. That's what these moms are. That's what their children are. And that's what it is. That's how it is.
But that must give you great, somehow, gratification that what you're doing makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be important to you.
Yeah, I don't know that I focus on that part of it. It's not me any longer. It's a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. So let's recap. Cinderella.
Yes, October 8th at the Herberger Theater. The Other Cinderella. Come and see us. Our children are beautiful. They're incredible. Bring your tissues. You will need them. Two shows, one at 2 and one at 5.
And how do they get in touch with you again?
602-502-2743, BalletAcademyofArizona.org.
Well, I'm
going
to...
Thank you, Dave.
You're
thank
more than
you,
welcome.
Moms.
Thank you, Carol, Susie, and Kathy.
I'm going to call them the Super Moms. Yes, and Tom,
and
thank
Tom.
You. You've been wonderful, and we'll have to do this again. This is a message that needs to get out. We will get it out, and it's the right thing to do. Next month, we'll have another great show, The
Yes.
Boss and the Ballerina, every fourth Monday. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Dave.